This is CliffCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, after what might feel like a ridiculously long hiatus, and while Mabale breaks everything in the studio,
sorry,
allow me to welcome you to Sipping Tea with Tumi Morake and Mabale Moloi. How are you, my darling?
I am good. How are you?
Awesome. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
We have not seen each other in forever, which is a problem.
This is wrong.
And I often get messages on Twitter of people saying, but Lihokai, where are you guys? Which is nice.
It's good to be missed. It's good. Every relationship needs that little bit of, but my mood too.
Everybody wants to be missed. Yes. So thank you very much for missing us. And we are back for this week, which is great.
Yes.
Do you know what? Even Babi Moloi loves our show.
Oh, really?
Because I was emailing her the other day on something else that's unrelated. And she responded and she said, oh, by the way, I've listened to the show that you do with Tumi Morake, and I really like you guys.
Oh, wow.
So I felt like, hey, Batonga, you know.
We have a famous fan.
We have a famous fan, that which is
like
great.
So awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so another week that's gone by in May. We're still dealing with all types of race-related issues in
the
news.
It's South Africa. Must be Tuesday.
It's South Africa. But you know what's also in the news, or has been in the news of late, is these guys who started that Blesser Finder app. Or they've got a website now, Blesser Finder.
Wow.
And they're in the news because, firstly, they released their statistics in terms of who is gravitating to their platform because people want to join Moss. You know, people want to be involved in this blessy thing.
While you speak, I'm going to try and find this thing.
Okay. They have a website, blesserfinder.com, or is it blesserfinder.co.za? I'm not sure. But just do a young search there and I'm sure something will come up. So anyway, these guys are in the news last week because they released some statistics. Turns out that the majority of new people who have registered onto their website are from KZN. I think that the figures are like 45% of new people who registered from KZN.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining someone out there going, I thought it would be Eastern Cape. I see. Look, have you seen the search that comes up?
No, tell me.
The results that come up, I mean, when you do the search.
No.
Because I search Blesser Finder, I get Blesser Finder website, Blesser Finder app, Blesser Finder South Africa, Blesser Finder Facebook.
Yeah.
Hey!
No, but busy.
This thing is serious, Mus.
This thing is serious. And the guy who...
Here it is. Finder Blesser. It's even a .com.
Bona.
Ha.
Barry, you get onto this thing.
Yeah.
If you are a Blesser, you register. I think you provide details of what you are looking for. So you specify, hore, I'm looking for a young lady, no older than 25, yellow bone, nice thick curves, and this is what I'll be able to provide her. I can give her X amount per month, or I can take her to holiday destinations in Dubai, or I can buy her shoes, or whatever. Like, you specify what you are prepared to do for the young lady. And then you've got young ladies also registering onto this website. And then what these guys at Blesser Finder do is they then provide you with matches. So if you are a guy who was looking for specific things and five girls qualify for those specific things that you are looking for, they will provide that guy with the five numbers of the girls, and then he can contact them and see if he can hook up with either one or more of them.
Uh-huh.
So that is what is happening out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm flabbergasted. Now, it's very, very rare that you will find me with nothing to say, like literally speechless.
Yes.
But I am. So, wow. So I've opened it and I see here how it works, pricing, features. Why is there pricing? I'm going to open pricing.
Yeah, find out what's under pricing, because the guy who was being interviewed on Checkpoint, which I watched a few days ago, he said no, that they don't charge any of the people who register onto their website to use the service.
So
I don't know what pricing is all about.
Maybe
pricing isn't, I think the pricing is about exactly how much you're prepared to pay the blessee, I think, isn't it? So if you say I can give her 30k a month, that's what I can afford.
What? But you see, I'm gonna leave this app alone for a second, just because, you know, the last time we spoke about blessers, I spoke about what I have understood a blesser or the term a blesser to come from, mm-hmm. where before blesser became a thing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know that blesser has now become the facelift of sugar daddy of client. Because on some level, it's starting to feel borderline like escort agency situations, just on a more permanent level.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I worry that, I mean, are we so far gone as a society? I'm sorry, like, I have children and I have a daughter and I have sons, and I have sons who can be blessed. I have a daughter who can be blessed, but they can also be on the other side and be blessers, right?
Mm-hmm.
My issue is this not throwing a spanner in the works in a relationship where they just happen to be on opposite economic scales? Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Give me an example to explain what you're saying.
Like, if you have money, okay, you earn six figures every year. Oh, no, well, a six-figure salary. You earn a six-figure salary every month.
Yeah.
And you happen to be in a relationship with someone who's only earning a four-figure salary every month.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been in this relationship.
Mm.
And you've automatically become the blesser because you're the one who can afford to spoil your person like that. But your person does other things for you, like, you know, that you enjoy in the relationship. Like, we don't come in with equal offerings in every relationship.
Okay?
There's one with more money, one with less money.
Mm.
So I want to know, is my understanding of a blesser, A, an option, like there are blessers like that, or that's not a blesser. That's just a relationship where somebody has more money. A blesser is someone who is coming with money and they're receiving sexual favors in return. Because for me, that's what it feels like.
As far as I understand what a blesser is, there is some kind of transaction that is going to take place there. So at some point, money is going to be given to the blessee by the blesser. In exchange, the blessee will probably have to give it up. Now, I've often seen...
How is that not prostitution?
Well, this is the question, though, isn't it? It's transactional sex, so then therefore it must be prostitution. But now I've often seen, and I have a cousin who's studying medicine at WITS, and he was telling me that... He has spoken to some of his female classmates. Third year medicine. And he has told me that he has spoken to some of his female classmates. And some of these girls have told him, no, but we don't always give it up to these guys. And I'm like, how? Because why would a man be paying you?
And why are you with him?
Why would he be giving you money for you to get your weave or to buy a textbook if you don't have the money to do without you giving it up to him? What are you giving in return as the blessing?
Maybe he's showing you off. Like, you go to events with him and you dress up, you make him look amazing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He gets to show you off. But my issue with this whole blesser thing and how far it's going is, you know, if it was a cute thing between me and my boo that, hey, when I'm a my blesser, I'm blessed to get or new tires, you know what I mean? Unless we're saying some of these blessers are people who are genuinely just looking for love, but they're going, look, if you're looking for the kind of guy who can financially take care of you, or you're a girl and you're going, if you're looking for the kind of girl who can financially take care of you. Because I'll tell you why. I hate how this conversation has been taken over by men. Like, the minute you hear blesser, the new connotation, or maybe that was always the connotation, I was just ignorant, is that it's an older dude. It's men. I'm not getting the sense that they're putting women as potential blessers as much as men are potential blessers.
I think that has to do with the fact that men have been involved in this kind of thing for much longer than women are. But no, listen.
I need you to rephrase.
No.
Can you say they've been involved in it more openly?
More?
Than women have.
Okay.
Historically.
Okay.
Because, sister's been blessing.
Okay. So then maybe more openly, hey. Mm. Because you're right, there are women who are in relationships, older women who are in relationships with younger men purely because they want that physical satisfaction that they get from the younger men.
And they
buy them cars and stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so more openly. Mm. I get it, as women, we've had to be hush-hush about the things that you're doing undercover.
Because
we are discreet.
We respect ourselves.
We are discreet, and then we also fear being judged more severely.
True.
So that is why.
True.
Look, my issue here is... And I don't want to sound judgmental, but my issue here is the laziness on a blessee's part.
Yes.
Because there are some blessees who will deliberately enter into this transaction because bona, quite frankly, they've decided, hore, I don't want to have to work that hard to get the things that I want in life. And let's not get it twisted. Not all blessees are desperate, you know.
Yes.
Not all blessees are sitting there without a job and no other means of, you know, paying.
They just want the nice life.
They just want their nice life. They want to be able to go to Dubai once a year. They want to be able to wear Louis Vuitton, what. That's all they want. And they're just thinking, ah, well, you know, if some man or some woman can help me get it, then why not?
Yeah.
But it's a laziness, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Look, we all want nice
things.
Well,
is it really a laziness? On the other hand, I mean, I think about these young ladies who are married to these older rich guys, and you know, they have to deal with these classy wives and housewives who are old money, who treat them like crap because they know you're just in here because of your cooch.
They're feeling threatened.
Yeah, and they're feeling threatened, but like, they will judge how you speak. They will judge how you are put together. Like, you, the amount of work that goes into being with that guy because he's the CEO of what, and you can't embarrass him. And even imagine if it's an unattractive, wrinkly old, smells like an old attic, and you must sleep with that every night. Mm. Like, you don't love him. You know you don't love him. You're probably banging the gardener's brains out. Because that you can do.
Because that is what actually gives you an orgasm.
Yeah.
Whereas with this old geezer, you're just lying there thinking,
Oh,
please, can he come quickly? Because I want this over and done with.
Yeah. It's the laziness, I think, is...
It's an unfair judgment.
It's relative.
Judgment.
No, let's say it's relative. It's relative.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Because think about those old guys. You know, there's also those old guys who just have companions. Like, they literally... They don't sleep with them. I thought it was BS, but I've come to learn that it actually happens. There are guys who have these companions that they flaunt and they don't touch them. They're not into them. Some of them actually rather have little boys, and that's what they're doing.
Okay.
By little, I don't mean they're underage. I'm talking
about pedophilia. Ne?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We're talking about Ben 10s.
But because the guys are high-flying... owner of so and so, you know, oh, he's a Freemason, rather. He's posing this girl out there, you know.
My question is, what does this do with regards to generalizations that men and women like to put on each other? So every now and again on Twitter, you'll see people, you know, weighing in with their opinions on a topic, and then somebody from somewhere will come in and say, but it's not all men or it's not all women. So my question is, clearly these things are weighing heavily on how we perceive each other as men and women. So a man looks at me and thinks, oh, what do you want from me? Like, you want my money, I'm sure. That's all you see me for. And then I, as a woman, am sitting here thinking, you're probably just another dog. Which is unfair, right?
Yeah.
Because not all women are looking for a man's money to take care of her, you know, or to give her a nice, comfortable lifestyle. And not all men are out here sleeping with, you know, 10 different girls at once.
Yeah. But where's your sense of self-worth if you really feel like you need to go and sign up somewhere and offer people money to be with you? I mean... That is so sad. Like, skis, man. You know? Then there's that girl, of course, who just says, I've got the money, I don't mind. It will be one of my mental pieces, this girl that I...
Yeah, just another notch in my belt, and then on to the next one.
Ne?
Yeah.
Because also, these blesser and blessee agreements, how long do they last? I mean...
Ah, Joe, some of them are one-time encounters. For others, it turns into... some kind of agreement. I don't even want to say partnership, but it's an agreement, it's an understanding. So this one woman who was being interviewed on Checkpoint, she has been put in a nice flat in Sandton, and she stays there full time. But now every time that this guy wants her, she has to be ready. It doesn't matter if she's got a funeral at home in Mthatha or if she, you know, like, it doesn't matter. When he snaps his fingers, she has to be able to jump and just say, how high?
These are power games that I think are very dangerous. I'm even scared to have this conversation because I can't even begin to imagine having a relationship like that. I honestly thought this blessa blessy thing is one of those organic things where you've ended up with someone who has money and they're not afraid to spend it on you. You know what I mean? And it's not one of those things where when it's over, I'm taking my stuff back. You know what I mean? Because it's just, I don't know. I say this because I remember when I was buying a car and the finance lady was telling me how she had literally just sold a car to a lady who has what you could call various blessers. Mm-hmm. She came in with a guy who basically signed the lease for the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was offering to just put up the deposit money for her on condition she agrees that she will handle the payments for the car. So he's almost like a surety, so to speak. And so when he left, she came back. She said, no, can you just hold my papers? I'll be back just after lunch. Comes back with another dude. And that's the dude who was signing that and giving in his bank details that the payments for the car are going to come out of his account.
Yeah.
And this chick was like shamelessly, yeah, and I've got a guy who does my flat. Like, all I buy in my life is my groceries and my clothes.
Yeah.
But I've got these guys, one who's covering my flat, and this guy who's, well, these two are doing my car.
And I suppose that would actually be the more sensible approach, isn't it? Is to have one guy taking care of.
But how do you handle that many men in one life?
No, because actually these men don't, they don't have.
All come at the, and they're probably all married. Well, the first one that was definitely married.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The guy who signed the lease for the car is the flat guy. That's the guy who pays for the flat. The guy who came after, that's the car and lifestyle guy. And yeah, she seems to have it down to a science. Like, she's living the life.
Okay. Now, me, I'm fine with that because we were having this conversation and the question was, okay, so then how do we get these young girls to stop?
Mm.
And I said, okay, well, if you want to get them to stop, you need to ask them these questions, I think. You need to ask her, so what is your plan B when your blesser leaves, when he's done with you?
Or dies.
Or dies. And then also, what is your plan C when you are, when you get too old to be doing these things? Because I get
when you're too old, you've already saved up your money.
Well, we hope. We hope.
Because,
you know, once you reach a certain age, you are no longer going to be appealing to these blessers because I get it, they're looking for young things.
Yeah,
so eventually you're going to become too old for this thing and then you won't be able to rely on men giving you money for stuff. So that was my only thing.
Yeah.
Now, if you're telling me about this example of a woman who had 5 different blessers taking care of different things, that to me is smart because then you're not just relying on one man who's covering everything.
Yeah.
So when the one is done with you, you've still got 4 more to play with and then you can find a replacement for that other one who gets done with you.
That's insane. I'm sorry. That ish is cray. You know what kills me though is when you're finding that the girls who are doing it are not even, oh, I come from abject poverty and I don't know any better. And it's literally that thing of, but this is easier and it takes nothing away from me. So
what's the problem?
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Because I was listening to, I can't remember which radio station, but some mother called in all upset because her daughter, who is studying something or other, like a really smart girl, well, book smart anyway, was driving some Jeep. Like she had bought this girl a car. So it's like you buy your daughter a car, like you buy her, say, maybe an entry-level Beamer. And then she gets her blesser to buy her an even better car. And now she's rolling in that car, not the car you bought her.
Mm.
And I was thinking, this conversation already, by virtue of you are telling me you bought your child this luxury car as a car for a child who's never driven before, it means we are talking to middle class blacks or above. You're blacks with mine.
Mm.
So has economic freedom also made us lose our minds a little bit? I don't understand. If my child is studying, why I would need to buy my child a luxury car at school?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's not necessary.
Yeah. So, because now she was calling and saying, oh, she needs them to appeal to her to leave this man and focus and whatever. And I'm thinking, you've raised a spoiled brat who, instead of being grateful for the fact that not only are you paying for her education, you're even giving her little luxuries that she doesn't have to wait until she's working to enjoy.
Mm.
she can't even appreciate that she goes and gets something better. She gets a man who can give her bed. Like, she doesn't have to. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying.
I hear you.
I would get it if they were saying, well, I'm hoping this girl can come back and say, listen, my mother's exaggerating. I fell in love with someone. He just happens to be rich. And he just happens to have decided to buy me a better car than the one my mom got me. But it didn't sound that way. So I'm going, gahle, what's the problem? Our general moral compass, is it broken? Is the pin broken?
Yeah, it's no longer facing north.
Yeah, we're not.
It's taking us west.
Yeah, we're not.
There is no true north anymore. There's no true north. And then, are we to be surprised? Because, you know, if you take a 20-year-old, obviously they grew up with more access to things than their grandparents. Mm. And so because they never had to go without, for them it's completely natural and normal to expect to want more things. Mm. So, you know, they're out here looking at people's lives on Instagram and thinking, yeah, and like, why can't I go to Dubai every year?
This
like
Instagramming. This Instagramming. Hey, Instagram is a problem.
It's a problem.
In fact, we were never ready for the interweb and the things it has brought for us, black people.
Instagram is a problem because it creates perceptions about the kind of lifestyles that people are living.
Yes.
And then it sets these unattainable goals.
Because, guys, real life, no filter.
Yeah.
You can't delete and retake the picture. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have time to plan reality and how it's going to look. And that's why I've seen guys who have built traction with women. Like, I follow the trend of a friend of mine who loves to post such stuff, like, you know, the good life, like good life. And you start to watch the kind of new followings that come with this person's posts. And you can tell that these are the kind of people who, A, think they are this guy, they misjudge this person economically, A. B, they think they're going to get to enjoy. And I'm going, are you looking at this person's job description? Are you not thinking that maybe this person is actually within their job spec doing these things? So you're not exactly about to enjoy the benefits of whatever they're doing anyway. Or are you at any point going, who's taking these pictures? Because they are not selfies. Because you're not seeing this person with someone.
No.
And you're wanting to be that person.
You are wanting to
you're
be
going,
that person.
I'm going to be the weaved chick or the hot chick in that picture with this guy, right?
And now you're also assuming that the yacht that they're taking the picture on is something that they own.
Exactly.
Maybe they rented it
or
for
they
the
do
day.
It all the time.
Hey.
Like, maybe follow his timeline or her timeline. See if there are yachts that keep cropping up within this long timeline.
Yeah.
Or if, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm going, Instagram is causing problems because I've seen even with moms, you know, I've seen so-called super moms posting things on Instagram. And then when I go to parties and whatever, then we get into these conversations and you're hearing these girls going, oh my God, like, how does she even find the time to whatever? And I'm like, she probably isn't. Can you just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to compare myself to a friend of mine who can bake a perfect frozen cake with freaking the song playing in the background.
Yeah, no.
When I have to run off and do work and she's just at home.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And why would you let her make you feel bad about what she's able to do?
And people posting these perfect babies who are doing these perfect things, this toddler who's sitting with a book, I'm like, yeah. Tell her to show you the pictures in the phone from before the child sat with that book and a second after she managed to take that snap.
Mm.
Like, we should stop. Man,
it's insane. It's completely insane. And I don't know how it happened that we have all become this stupid to take for granted the things that we see on platforms like Instagram as gospel.
Guys, it's like TV. When you watch TV, there's been editing that has happened.
Yeah.
When you watch a show and you're like, oh, it's so amazing. That's because they did things to it. People who are posting, oh my gosh, guys, I'm not saying don't be inspired and I'm not saying people shouldn't post nice pictures of themselves, but I'm like, slow the F down.
And just realize that what you are looking at is a glimpse of that person's life. It was a certain moment that you took a look at. It doesn't mean that person's got that life 24/7.
Sure.
Every day they wake up and then they hop onto a yacht and they go to the Maldives on their private jet.
My favorite is you don't even know how much that poor celebrity is being paid to be in that place and what they had to do while they were there and how you managed to catch about 5 minutes of what is probably 48 hours of hell.
Mm.
You know? And that's the one thing I've started doing, where I'm not saying, yeah, this is how it should be done, but I try and stick to some level of truth, because I also don't want people to be out there going, hey, this girl is eating mine. I'm not going to pretend I'm living a lifestyle that I'm not. So if I'm going to luxury places and it's work, I'm very clear about, this is a Bereka Mosadi situation, hashtag Bereka Mosadi, you know what I mean? And if it's a vacation, it's a vacation, but you can see, Ugoti, yeah, it's a long vacation. This is, I'm not messing around. I don't expect to do this every month. I don't know, just, I think people must just calm down. If you're feeling like you have such a crappy life because you've seen all these beautiful glossy pictures on Insta, slow down, honey.
Yeah, because that's not real life.
That's not real life, man. I don't know, Jay. I don't get it, actually. I don't get people who respond emotionally to pictures like that. Because for me, I enjoy beautiful ones. I enjoy, I'll be honest, there are pictures that I've seen where the people will say where they are, and then I'll go and I'll Google that place because I want to go to that place because it looks freaking amazing. On that level, it makes sense.
Mm.
But now, where are you going to start judging yourself and be like, what am I doing with my life? Mm. Why can't that be me?
Mm.
People are in debt. People are living beyond their means.
Mm.
That's another thing people need to realize.
People are barely surviving.
Our level of debt as black people is starting to be on the level of white people. Because you know that's how South Africa has been divided. Like, before someone jumps and goes, Stevie, why are you turning this into a race thing?
Yeah.
I've done enough corporates to have picked up.
Tell me.
That in terms of debt in this country, right?
Eh.
Because we didn't have the kind of access to debt that white people had previously. Their debt has always historically just higher. Always been higher than ours. But also, they've also known how to build debt onto debt. So
the three different credit cards. Hey.
And then you can't pick up the debt. This person's in debt because they seem like they always have a liquid thing going on.
Yeah.
Right? They seem to always be liquid. And so what's happening with us is that we are arriving in money. But we are arriving in money and not being happy with that money. We're arriving in money but wanting to pose. So I'm arriving in my millions. I want to pose like I'm in the 10 millions. I'm arriving in my 10 millions. I want to pose like I'm in the billions. And so people are, you're a thousandaire and you're living like a millionaire.
Like a millionaire. Basically. Yeah. Yes, and it's like,
slow your roll. Calm down. Just.
And just be sensible about things.
Guys, because we need, you know what excites me that has made me, honestly, when I plan finances, I used to look at it in a black-white situation. I used to go, let me look at white folk and how they do things. And I'm going, look, people are living in wills. People are getting money. Where's that money coming from? You know what I mean? I'm going, when their kids start university and they know that, you know, they live far, whatever. These kids are driving your entry-level Golf, your second-hand, third-hand, fourth-hand Honda, if the family can help, you know?
Mm.
And there you get that sense of, it's a practicality thing. It's not a, look, I can afford to buy my child a car and send him to university. It's all about practicality. And I'm going, are we being practical with things? Like, there have been times I've made money I did not plan on making.
Mm-hmm.
Where I've been offered deals that I plan my finances a year ahead. So if
that is discipline.
Yeah, but I don't have a choice. You see, it's because Mbabali, I come from not being rich. I come from always being on the cusp of poor, you know, with a single mother who was a nurse and, you know, had to stretch that thing to maintain her lifestyle and children by herself because she wasn't receiving papgeld. So you can imagine. So I promised myself a long time ago, from seeing my mother hiding when someone's coming to knock at the door because she knows she owes them money, that I don't want that life for myself. I knew that I don't want a credit bureau to know my name. I don't want to ever be living from hand to mouth.
Mm.
And that's where that habit comes from. And I wouldn't, you know, when they say everything happens for a reason. I wouldn't have this habit had I not been kicked out of Viz for financial reasons.
Because you couldn't afford.
Because I couldn't afford, but financial planning could have helped me. I'm still convinced to this day that financial planning could have actually gotten me through university. Yet it was something out of my hands because I wasn't paying my own school fees. My mother was scraping together to get me through school.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So ever since then, I've decided I don't want to be that girl. Like when I bought my car, you know, I didn't just jump into luxury German car. The first thing I went for was a Japanese car because I was like, I can afford this and it's pretty.
Mm.
And I was being honest with myself. When I bought the car before the car drive now, I went, it's very pretty. I can still look like I'm money. Because, you know, when you do corporates and you give people your price, and then they look at you funny because you've arrived in a Hyundai, in a little Hyundai i10. Like, I love Hyundais. Please, Hyundai, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a Hyundai.
I drive a Hyundai.
Saying if I arrive in an i10, but I'm asking for the same fee that my colleague who drives a convertible BMW, they're going to look at me funny like, yeah, but we understand why he needs to charge that much. We're not entirely clear.
But, I mean, whose business is it? Well, because that's your fee. That's your work rate.
But again, you want to start that conversation, because trust me, Mabale, I have seen it. I have seen it practically. The difference in treatment that I get because of the car I drive now. In fact, I won't name the company, but there's a company I'd associated with for a while. I had never been greeted by any of the execs ever. Like, I'd bumped into them. I'd walked past these people.
Mm-hmm.
Parked my car once. Just once.
This is not the German car that you are now driving. Yeah. The one that speaks louder than you parking.
Not greeted?
Yeah.
Not only greeted, but even asked how I'm doing. Heaven! I was like, uncle. I stopped myself from saying, but my guy, do you know how many times we've walked past each other and you didn't even...
Ooh.
I greeted twice and I gave up after that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And even when I've arrived at the corporates where, like, it's a golf day or whatever, I've seen the difference in tone. Because, you know, you get repeat clients. And sometimes you go, oh, this person's treating me like this now because they're used to me. Then there are those clients where you're like, oh, okay. So actually you thought something before. Now you...
Okay, well, you know what?
It's sad, but it's a fact.
People Let's get into that after that. The break. Let's get into appearances and what first impressions mean to people, because, you know, it's very easy for us to sit here and to say, but I don't want to be judged on the kind of car that I'm driving or the kind of clothes that I'm wearing. But at the same time, you know, if you see somebody pulling up in a nice German what, you are impressed. And we have to ask the question, why do you get so impressed?
Yeah.
Because you can't sit there ask to be or not to be judged on your first impressions, but then you are doing the same to the guy who pulls in his Merc Mercedes what, and all of a sudden he looks a little bit more attractive than what he would
now he can
if
pull
he was stepping out of an i10.
Hey, now he can pull into you.
It's 61555189, or message us straight through to WeChat at Cliff Central Com on WeChat, or you can just tweet us Cliff Central Com. Sipping tea with myself, Mabale Moloi.
And myself, Dumi Moloi.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Sipping tea with Timmy Meraki.
And Mabale Moloi. Mabale.
Yes, Mabale, because you know the appearance of your name.
Yeah, no. So this is what we alluded to before the break, is talking about first impressions and appearances. Yes. And how it is that you judge somebody that you are first meeting, but then at the same time, you do not want to be judged on those very same standards when it comes to you.
Hmm.
So you were saying, Hore, you pulled up in your big German car, and then all of a sudden you were treated very differently.
But I must say, I'm finding it in the corporate space a lot. I must say, I'm really finding that happens a lot in the corporate space. Everywhere else, not so hard. Luckily I bought this car because I liked it, not because I thought I need to go and show people something so they can give me money. It was just my little treat to myself. But, excuse me. It's interesting because, I mean, I've spoken to a lot of comics as well, and you'll find that with the male comics especially, they'll be like, because the ones who've been doing it for a while, they'll be like, look, it's everything from the pen you drop when you're in there for the briefing, to if you push your sleeve back, what watch you're wearing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, no wonder I feel like I'm being sized when I walk in, because like I have this Gucci bag that I got as a gift that I never use, but I've decided I only use it when I go to briefings. Like, I'll carry the Gucci bag. I'll try and find something designer. But then I also feel like, no, you don't always have to give into it. Because also I find it exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stopped. Like, I was getting there to that thing of, you know, always have the bag ready, always have the... And I'm like...
But now help explain it to somebody like me, who's probably just a little bit on the ignorant side, because I don't think I would recognize a Gucci bag if it was placed in front of
Honey.
Me. Unless I can see the label and read Gucci, I'm not going to know the difference.
Oh my God. You have not hung out with certain girls.
No, I haven't.
I used to have that question until I was out with a friend of mine who, when a guy walks in, she looks him up from bottom up.
Yeah.
And she will tell you there and then where we're sitting, financial brackets.
So then...
from the kind of shoe to the label to the... suit to the cut
to the cut
to the cut, bruh.
So then does that mean that if I am not able to read a person in that way, that I'm messing up somewhere?
I don't know. Me, I think it's
I'm doing myself a disservice.
I think it's about how materialistic you are.
Yeah,
hey?
Yeah.
I don't care. Because for me, I look at cleanliness with guys, because I've realized something. Having worked for people who you will be surprised at as to how rich they are, I've realized not everyone wears their money. You know, but if to me you appear like you're happy, I walk a mile away from you. If you can't bath,
yeah,
a simple shower.
Yeah, just be put together.
Just be put together.
Yes.
Look like you bother to comb your hair. You have time to shave, or you have someone who can shave you.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't.
But there's a certain level all of us are superficial at some level.
Yes.
It's just varying degrees of it.
But it's not our fault. It's like, come on, in your body, the busiest, one of the busiest sensory, one of your busiest senses must be sight, because you see stuff, you perceive stuff, you know, before you hear it, smell it, you know, the quickest taken is to see something and then it's in.
Mm.
So I don't think we should judge ourselves for being superficial. I think it's just how we're built.
I don't think most of us are capable of not being superficial. So to judge ourselves would actually be a wasted effort, yeah. Because most of us will respond to something, even if it's at the very minuscule level. You know, I might not be as advanced as your friend who can, you know, judge a guy down to his cut of the suit that he's wearing. But yeah, I'm superficial to a good degree. All of us are.
But it's a human thing. I mean, I read it somewhere, or did I hear it somewhere, where they were saying the human smile, for example, when we smile, we're baring our teeth. And the point of that is to show, it's like a primitive language of saying, look, I don't have fangs. I'm not a threat. You know what I mean? That's what a smile is. It goes, look, I won't eat you.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
And I have all my teeth.
I have all my teeth. So... But it's true. I mean, come on, Mabale. You know that if a guy who is wearing a clean pressed shirt with a decent pair of pants, you know, clean shoes, he's wearing relatively, even if he's not wearing cologne, but he doesn't smell too manly.
Mm.
Like, I like a manly smelling man. Ugh,
I like a man
but
in a suit.
Don't smell like a man who's been working in the fields. All
Jordan, no way.
So when a guy like that walks towards you and then the next guy is wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, obviously you will have been more impressed by the first guy in the suit. Yeah.
Exactly.
It suggests that you are taking the time to take care of yourself, because you value yourself.
Mm.
It might very well be that you're taking the time to, you know, to hook in some beautiful woman. That's okay. That's fine.
It's like people.
We're all out here looking for someone, trying to catch. It's like fishing.
Yeah, man. For me, it's like guys with dreads. You know, when I look at guys with dreads, I always want to see, do you have dreadlocks because you've literally just let yourself go? Or do you have dreadlocks because it's a look that you enjoy, but your hair's washed? It's tied back neatly, or if it's hanging down, it doesn't look like it's haphazardly sitting on your head. Like, you actually gave enough of a damn to take a look in the mirror and then do something with your hair. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even with white dudes with long hair, I like those dudes who have long hair, but if he's let it down, if it's not tied up, like, you can see this guy conditions his hair, it's neat, it's sitting nicely, you know? He doesn't look like he just dropped off a rock band stage or some Metallica concert and now he's talking to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, appearances are everything.
Yeah, they really are.
Mm. And with women, I find that it's easier for us to be misleading than guys in terms of our appearances. Like, you see those girls who look like, she looks like she's at least 50,000 rand walking. And then you find that, oh my God, she's just 600 rand.
Oh yeah, no, but there's also a lot more available to us to choose from. You know, we've got access to a greater pool of things that help in creating the lie, if I can say. So, you know, I could put a weave in my hair or not. What's a guy going to do? Guys have extensions, ne? Some guys use extensions. They do.
What's the biggest lie a guy, what's the most misleading thing a man has done to you appearance-wise? Because I've seen a domestic walk out and you think she's a PA somewhere. So what is it? What you see exactly? You have to think about it. But with a woman, it'll either be something she says, or you will realize, oh my god, that wig is actually sitting on top of her head, not actually. You know what I mean?
It's not.
Because nowadays you get cheap weaves that are also freaking good.
Yeah.
But those ones that you must only wear twice and then throw it away because you're gonna.
No. You can't wash it and then keep it in the back of your closet for another season. No, it doesn't have that kind of mileage in it.
Which is interesting because I wonder when you end up in those relationships, let's say then because of this person's appearance and you've decided there's something and then you hook up. Then what happens because the look slowly fades and fades and fades? And then what?
This reminds me of a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, who happened to meet an older white gentleman. Now, my friend is a black girl. And when she met this guy, she had one of those long weaves in her hair that kind of just falls down in these curls and its volume.
It just cascades.
You know, it just cascades and Jay, and you look like you are, I don't know.
Beyonce,
you know, with all her curls that just cascade down her shoulders all the way to her back. And so she met this guy, they hung out for a while, and then he took a liking to her. And then one day when they were going to meet up together, that was the day that she was not wearing the weave.
Oh.
So she had taken the weave out, she was giving her hair a break, and she just had her own hair, natural hair.
Did she still look cute?
I'm pretty sure she looked cute. It's just that she wasn't wearing the weave anymore.
What level of her own hair are we talking? Are we talking natural? Or are we talking relaxed hair?
No, it's been chemicalized. Oh. So it's got chemicals in it. She's tied it up in a cute little ponytail. You know, she looks good. She's not looking, you know, like she's unkempt or something. Unkept. I don't know. Anyway, so she meets up with this guy and he is just shocked out of his mind because now he's seeing her for the first time without the weave and he did not like it.
Hashtag he was never ready for Africa. When Africa not happens.
We are not yet Uhuru people.
Okay.
He stopped seeing her because he didn't like the way that she looked without the weave.
But it makes sense. I mean, think about it. You know, when you go to strip clubs, and not that I frequent them often.
It would be okay if you did.
Okay. So there are different looks. Like there are strippers with different looks. There's even a disabled stripper who just, she's an amputee.
What?
Yeah.
No.
And she has her clientele.
But what has she had amputated?
In fact, I don't think she's amputated. She doesn't have her arm. She doesn't have her forearm. Like her arm. Oh, I'm touching my arm like people who are listening can see. Basically, half her forearm is gone.
So she doesn't have.
There's no hand. There's no hand involved.
So she can't grip onto the pole.
Yeah. She's single-handedly pulled.
And it's just the one hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the cooch is intact. It's not obviously disabled. So they have this that. There's the girl who looks like a housewife who didn't want to be there. Then there's the one who looks like a raunchy. She will shag you till kingdom come.
Mm.
Anyway, so what the point I'm making is, I think especially with older gentlemen, they are not as open-minded as the younger ones who are like, hey, this is all sorts. I never know what I'm going to get. At any second, I could open a packet and I never know what I'm going to get.
You like a packet.
Hey, but older guys, if he first saw her with that hair and with her look, and she's probably wearing killer makeup and killer heels, you understand? He associates that image with something very specific. And then when you take off your hair and you're coming and you're still beautiful and you're still sexy, but where's that hair that he's going to get to pull back while he's doing you?
But black women don't allow men to pull their hair because they know it could come out at any second.
But it's not about the black woman. It's about the guy. That is funny though.
Okay. I see what you mean.
You understand?
Yeah.
I understand him having a problem with that.
Right.
Oh, especially an older white dude. I mean, for me, I feel like those guys, they don't even have an in-between. Like, if they like you with the fro and they want you unshaven and a little heavy, that's what they want. If he marries you like that, don't mess up by going on a diet and then putting in hair. He's divorcing you tomorrow.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
I feel like some men are like that. If this is what they wanted, you upkeep that. I mean, I've met ladies who spend money on staying platinum blonde because that's what the man wants. He wants his blonde.
Yeah.
He wants her a certain size. She goes even half a size over that. She is in that gym. She is not eating for the rest of the month because she doesn't want this guy to go.
Hmm. And what do women want from men? What do we want from these men?
Amen.
I think we want everything.
I think.
Which is part of the problem.
No, but I think there's very little. Yeah, but finish your thought.
I worry about us as women in terms of expectations that we have from our men.
Mm.
And I think some of those expectations are completely unrealistic.
Mm.
You know, they like to say that men are simple creatures.
Mm.
Simpletons. Shame, I must not be insulting. You know, he knows what he wants. So he wants his blonde woman with her size 8 frame.
Yes.
And she must not change from that. Yes. And that is what he wants. What she wants out of him could be anything from move the mountain tomorrow to just hold me. Just hold me.
But you do find that mostly women, what we want from men is not physical.
Yeah.
Except the nice thing, yes, in the bedroom, of course.
Yeah, well, yes.
We are not forgoing that, right?
Yeah.
But we're just saying, I think, we are trophies. Let's be honest, guys. Trophies generally are women. That women don't really have guys as trophies. I think the thing of trophy wives and trophy girlfriends is it's a male thing.
It's a male thing. I do feel that, you know, there are some women, well-established women, who are trying to get their own trophies in the form of men, which is when these Ben 10s, you know, they come in, they're nice to have. You can introduce them to your girlfriends over lunch and you're like, yeah, this is what's keeping me happy at night. And they all look at him and they're like, ooh. And he's got a six pack, and he's got this, and he's got that. Yeah. You know, and then 2 months down the line, you're like, yeah, he's so immature. I can't deal with him anymore.
I just feel like guys need to be fair as well. I mean, I want to
know. No, guys, can we talk about this? That's unacceptable.
I just feel like I'm already an overweight girl. It's always been my thing. I've always felt like my frame cannot be matched by the guy I'm with. If you want me, it should be because I'm your size, like you can handle. Not because I'm your size, we are twins. I'm sorry. Don't let yourself go. I don't know. As guys also feel like, you know, you started dating and you would bath and you would put on cologne. And you would, yeah.
And you would go in and you would wax your,
yeah.
You know, you'd wax your everything.
Yeah, you would at least
and then
iron.
You'd buy special scented soaps and fragrances for your body parts.
Yeah.
Because you were trying to impress, like, and then you got him.
Oh no, I'm talking about the guy. When are you talking about the girl?
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Saying the guy.
All right, so
if you used to put that effort,
yes,
then you need to keep it going in the same way that I say, we married you and then you lost yourself. Yeah, even you, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. So okay, if you used to make sure I see you in pajama pants, cool. Not now you're always in your tranca and it's riding up your ass.
But how is it even possible for people to see our true selves? Because I get it, the first time you're meeting someone, you are trying to attract
them. But
you are trying to catch that
dude,
fish.
Dude, the true you must not be a polar opposite.
No. But
think about advertising.
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way. It's about advertising.
Okay.
You buy that soap that makes you feel that what they sell you is you are going to freaking be, you're going to feel like you're in the Amazon. All right.
But it's bullshit. We know it's bullshit.
Yes,
it's a lie.
But your experience is close enough. You go, I get why. I get why the packaging was like that.
Okay.
It's the same thing with men and women. You package whatever you're packaging. I understand it's packaging because you're reeling me in. But the contents cannot be too far from the packaging. When you're drinking that secret of the valley and you feel like I have found the secret in this thing. It tastes so amazing. Because that's my favorite of all the series juices. I die for Secrets of the Valley.
Okay, but.
And you know what? The packaging, when I'm drinking that thing, yes, I'm not immediately transported into the valley of Ceres. But man, I feel like I know a Lukunut. So even you, Mabali.
You know a secret.
You looking innocent and whatever.
I am innocent.
Yeah. Okay. That's your story. You'll stick to it.
But the fact of the matter is, though, when I was out playing the field and I was trying to reel you in, I was working extra hard to attract you.
Yes.
And the fact of the matter is, once we are both settled in and it's a Saturday afternoon and we have decided we are staying in today because ke winter ha bata and I'm just not in the mood, Shem, I'm going to wear my tracksuit pants.
Yes.
And my hair is going to be...
But the tracksuit pants won't have holes in them, right?
And no, well, ideally they shouldn't.
Exactly. You know what? I support what you're saying, because in the words of my cousin, because we'd be drinking and she has to be at work the following morning, and I'd be like, dude, aren't you going to work tomorrow? She goes, Emona, you're spending a sing interview. So I think that's the same thing you're saying. Where
yeah,
we're like,
yeah,
this is not interview phase. It's my thing. I've got this thing. I'm going to work.
Mm.
But you need to at least still be delivering. You know what I mean? Like that sweet, soft-spoken person you were in the interview, or that respectful person you were in the interview, right? You're not that person you're at work, but you're delivering. You're delivering on your promise. Yeah? You look like the company isn't embarrassed to have you walk in that gate, because you still look like the face of the company.
Yes.
You still look the part and you still deliver.
Yes.
Same thing with relationships, guys. Yes, you're not interviewing for the job anymore. You've got the person. But are you not interested in keeping them?
Well, yes, I am.
Exactly. Because relationships, if you think about it, are repeat interviews. Like we renew your contract. Especially, say, at least when you're married, you're like, but you've signed a piece of paper here. This is ketile.
But till when death.
Till death. Yeah. But they're like, until Uncle Death comes to sign this thing to say it's done.
Yeah.
Actually, you're not going anywhere. But when you're dating, my friend, you need to remember that there's still, you need to renew the contract. You are that player. We are the striker. We are counting how many times did you score when you were in the starting lineup.
Okay.
You must be accountable.
Okay. No, you are right. I'll agree with you on that. And then it makes me think of, are you allowed to expect more from your partner than what you are prepared to put in? You know how sometimes people will look at a couple and they'll say, Mara, how did she get that guy? Because he's so ugly. And she is the extreme opposite of him. So, for example, if I don't like your beer belly 6 months down the line, but then I've also let myself go, am I allowed to still expect you to not have a beer belly? Meanwhile, now I've moved up to a size.
No.
Like, I've moved up two sizes because my ass is just...
What's good for the goose is good for the gander, Baba. What happens on the right hand must happen on the left hand, Baba.
Yeah, but, I mean, if I'm no longer attracted to you in your beer belly, what must I do?
I don't know. Wait, are you talking dating or marriage? Because marriage, you're screwed. You're in there forever.
Yeah.
You have to. In fact, no, but it comes with the plus side is the power you have is now you can say, I demand you change because we're in this contract forever and I refuse to have to stay at that for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like you find compromise. When you're dating, if he's already letting himself go and you haven't even tied yourselves down to each other,
it's not allowed.
Find out what's going on. Find out what's going on. Sometimes it's your fault. You're overfeeding the guy, but then you're surprised he's gaining weight. You know what I mean? I've seen it with couples where she's like, yo, the way Mutaka ginang. I'm like, yeah, but you do realize you cook all his meals.
Yeah.
Like, how are you the one complaining? And when you go out, you're not saying, hey, baby, let's go hiking or walking. You are saying, let's drive to Kai Kai, where we'll be served hand and foot and we just sit and vegetate.
Mm.
So take responsibility for what you're doing to your partner. You know what I mean?
I did also want to get into this a little bit. Knocking people's hustle or judging people's hustle, the way that they hustle.
Mm.
So, for example, if you think, but the way that Tumi got that job, whatever, it's just, nah, I would never do that because I have morals.
Yeah, but that's you. This
yeah,
is
but
me.
Yeah. So, I guess it just goes back to that whole thing of us being judgmental of each other and thinking, everybody should subscribe by your rules and should have the same definition of what you think having morals is.
Yeah, this thing of knocking. See. You know what I don't like is if I found an easier way to do something and you went and took the tougher route and now you want to make it my problem that you're angry that I'm not sweating like you sweated. That's not cool. I think that's what you're talking about. Like, I think that's what happens with people. Like, And it's also a perception thing. Like, if you think you've taken so damn long to get that promotion, you're not even looking to see how did Mabale, who just arrived last week, get it instead of you, and you're going, yeah, she slipped her way to the top.
Mm-mm.
You don't know if Mabale arrived there with her MBA, and you don't know if actually Mabale's uncle owns this company, and her hustle is she's gone, uncle, I promise you that I will do the family proud if you let me have this job. A hustle is a hustle. If you get trotted on in the process, sorry for you. My problem is people who bitch about people's hustle as if it affects them. Why does it affect you? Why are you so angry? Why aren't you on your own hustle? In fact, why are you? Do you have so much free time on your hands that you have time to judge my hustle?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Mm.
So what bothers you about it? The fact that they're doing it or the fact that they make noise about it?
I think it's the fact that they think that your hustle should be in accordance with what they think a person's hustle should be. They want to dictate to you.
They should approve.
But when the way that you did it, I find problematic.
Mm.
But you make a good point. Why are you involving yourself in other people's business when you clearly have got your own business to
see to? Take food out of your mouth. Do you have physical evidence that had I not hustled this way and gotten this thing, it would have been yours? You know what I mean? Mm. Like, people must just get a life. You know, this term, get a life, it's a term we don't use a lot anymore. But I think if we all go back to that term of get a life, it will take us back and probably start to resolve a lot of issues that we're having in terms of social media, in terms of things that people are saying. If we just remember that simple adage, get a life. Yeah, Bon. Because it means you have none of your own to focus on. That's why you're focusing on other people's.
And it's a complete waste.
It's such a waste. Because now, while you are looking at my life, who's taking care of yours? Yeah? Who's the stove is on there. Your house is burning down.
Mm.
You're busy telling me how my house is painted pink and not purple. You know?
People in glass houses or something like that.
Hey!
I don't know if we have a Hugger Man for this week. Yazi, we haven't been hugging these men. Shame.
Hugger Man this week goes to that guy who has maintained, who still once in a while buys that girl flowers, who still once in a while gets dressed up, smells nice, and says, hey, baby, let me take you out to Nando's.
To Nando's.
You know, because guys get it wrong. They think we're all trying to go to fancy restaurants. Bokoy, boying, ing. Sometimes, you know, my favorite thing is a crunch burger. And you're going to let me put on my favorite jeans and my nice shoes. And we're going to go sit in one of those KFCs with the nice leather couches. And we're going to say, I'm going to have my crunch burger.
No. I stumbled on when you said leather couches. KFC didn't have any leather couches.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
You know those ones. There's the ones where they're like.
Carry leather though.
No, pleather.
Okay.
Pleather seats. But the point is.
The point
you're
is.
You're going, you're treating me to my favorite meal. Don't go and feed me sushi when you know that I'm really feeling this crunch bag.
Mm.
You know, you're going to give me oysters. Why?
Why?
It's not my thing.
Next thing, I'm getting sick and I'm throwing up all over the place and now the date is ruined because I can't even kiss you at the end of the night.
And then you go to the place where I know, yes, you love me, but we're going to be uncomfortable being forced to dress like stiff people when you have taken me to Ocean Basket because that's the seafood I like. I like the Cajun spice.
Yeah.
But no, you want to. So, yes, it's nice to spoil your lady once in a while. But remember, guys, there's no real pressure to do it. Women, we are also quite simple.
They're going to say you guys are lying. Women are demanding. You're always bitching about how I don't do things for you.
No.
That's what they're going to say.
Not all of us are.
Not all women.
But know the women you're with as well. Some guys know she's like that. And they still love her because, you know, they say she has other redeeming qualities. You know? Which is the same with every guy. We'll take the crap, but we'll go, I'm taking it because he has other redeeming qualities that make this thing worth all the trouble.
All right, well, that's a good place to leave it. Thank you once again for joining us this week. It was good to be back, and it was good to be back with you.
Oh, do you love back? And
catch us again next week, same time, same place. Sipping tea, I'm Mabale Moloi.
I'm Tumi Morake.
This is CliffCentral.com.